it's become very popular to have Yayin Mevushal, because of the fact that we're not afraid that if a non-Jew touches it, it's not going to affect the kashrus of the wine. You understand? And incidentally, the same rule applies to grape juice, because grape juice and wine, you know, what is grape juice? It's still derived.
Are you saying
wine,
that if
except it's not fermented,
a non-Jew can serve it?
Yes.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yeah,
that's why we used to only have, you know, like a catering company.
Exactly.
Well, that
issue
must be something with going back to when we had our bar mitzvahs and wedding, we were told not to serve grape wine. We'd serve cherry wine or whatever else
okay.
there was at the time.
All right, so not avoided. Because not every wine is mevushal. There are those who insist that the wine that they want to drink is the real wine and not mevushal. That wine cannot be touched by a goy.
That's what I remember.
Right,
you
see, that they can't. Yeah. And there are those who say that you're not yotze, in other words, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, let's use real wine and not mevushal.
Yeah.
Wine that has all you on it.
Right.
It's not
pre-wine in glasses all over the table,
right,
but without the bottle.
Yeah.
So that supposedly if a boy took a bottle and refilled his glass, the whole bottle became drink.
If it were not mevushal, yeah. But if it is mevushal, then we accept a liberal point of view, you know, that you can use it. Okay. That's one of the things, I mean, that...
Is it written on the bottle?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah,
if you have, right, exactly. If you have either, let's say, ketamine, wine, okay, you have to look at the bottle to see. If it's mevushal, they'll tell you Yayin Mevushal, okay? And the same thing is true of many wines that come from Eretz Israel, like most of the Carmel wines are mevushal, specifically for this reason, so that you don't have to be afraid that if it's touched by a goy, it automatically is going to destroy it. So we see this is the source over here, and as we see, he says, look, if it's mevushal, they're not going to serve it as a libation, right? And if it's ichlufe, we're afraid that, you know, the goy will exchange his wine for our wine. No, Kevin, the Yikr Choysim Echor Le Torach Mazayach. As long as we have a kosher seal on the wine, so he's not going to do that. Okay. So now they bring an example. We'll go a couple of more minutes before I run out of steam completely. Tana Rabban. Our sages have taught us, this happens to be an Etosefta, okay. It says that Yayin Mevushal, the Alontis Shalosh Dekrochovim Asur. This is a strict view, okay? That even the boiled wine, the cooked wine, or the Alontis that belongs to, that is Goyish, they are prohibited to us. Alontis Kivri Asur, however, if it is Alontis raw, in other words, it hasn't been, right? To begin with, it was not wine, according to Rashi, okay? Rather, it was something which he bought it from a Jew, and, you know, it was Jewish wine to begin with, okay? And it had not been boiled, it hadn't been touched in any way. Then he says, in this particular case, muteris. What is muteris? It's permitted. The answer is, you know, it would be permitted for hanoah. As we said, you could derive benefit from it, but that obviously if it's goyish wine, even if it's mevushal, then it is prohibited for us to do what? To drink it. Okay. So that's why I'm saying we have to distinguish between one thing and the other. What is this alontis? So this is what the Gemara says. Is it here, Alontis? So tell me, what's Alontis? So he says, Kiritanya, as we have learned, Gave Shabbos, in connection with the laws of Shabbos. Actually, Shabbos is written, Oisin Anumlin, Yen Oisin Alontis. You are permitted to have Anumlin, to drink it on Shabbos, right? But not Alontis. Now, of course, it's all very fine, but the question is, what the H are they?
Yeah.
What are they? What are they? Okay. So, he says, what's Alontis? So he says, Alontis, and what is Alontis? So he says, Anumlin, this is Yayin, Udabash, Upilpili. That's wine and honey with pepper in it. Alontis, he says, that's Yayin Yoshin, it's an old wine, umayim, and water mixed in, zululin, right, with clear water, literally, right? But farsimon, what is a farsimon? A farsimon is like balsam or something that, that they put in, you know, for flavoring, okay? Yeah. And no, that's a farsak. No, it's not farsak. Right. Okay. The Avdei Levei Besusa. What do they make this Alontis for? Alontis they make in order, you know, to as a medication. So this goes back to what we said the last couple of weeks. Remember that the question about are you permitted to take medication on Shabbos? And at that time I told you that to begin with, once upon a time, what was the Isser? The Isser was to begin with that you were Meshachek Sabamon. In other words, in order to create medication, you had to crush this substance, another substance to mix it in, and so on and so forth. That was the medication. This is prohibited because of the fact that the crushing, this is like the making of the katoris. And we learn that the prohibitions, the major prohibitions of Shabbos, are prohibitions which are based upon various activities in connection with the Mishkan, with the tabernacle. Okay? So, therefore, since making katoris was one of the activities for the Mishkan, therefore to do something similar to it is prohibited. We have this whole discussion, I mean, that today, you know, for the most part you go into the pharmacy and it's already all prepared a long, long time ago, so that we're not actually doing it, but we still keep up that we make a distinction. If you don't need it at all, you can get along very well without it, then don't take this medication on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, you are in either a condition of danger, or you are in a condition that may potentially be dangerous, then in that case, you are permitted to take medication on Shabbos. Okay? So, all right. Now, added to that, then, is the question that if it is something that a food is good and at the same time it also helps your health, that's permitted to consume that food or drink that food on Shabbos. So what is the difference between the two over here? The answer is that if you take the first one, okay, the anomaly, right, which they said, this you can have on Shabbos, I mean, take a look at the ingredients, wine, honey, and pepper. No, it's a machaya they could drink. So, even if it makes you feel better, gesunta hate, have it, okay, you understand? This is the reasoning over here. But on the other hand, if Alontis is something which is old wine mixed with water, the water already, you know, it makes the wine not so ay-ay-ay. And if you're taking it, you take it as a medication, you're not going to get any nachas out of it. And so, therefore, this, you don't drink on Shabbos.
You do not.
And that's what the Gemara says about, you know, this particular, the difference between unknown and malintus, okay?
Right.
Yeah, that's all right, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, spicy
wine. Yeah, spiced wine.
Right.
Some people like spice.
Well, it's mulled cider.
It's spice for me. That's the idea. Well, it says pepper, but it really means spice. Right. So I don't have to tell you. I mean, for some people, it's the spice of life. You know. That they enjoy.
You got the honey in it too.
Right? Right, there's honey in it, so it sounds good. It reminds me of the old. I don't know if you ever heard.
Honey and pepper and wine.
Right.
Isn't Jerusalem cocoa with pepper?
Could be. No, no, just well, they like it. Yeah, and in New York, you can get Jerusalem cocoa too. Among other cocoa. Right. But,
supposed to be good for the metabolism, you know.
Well, it could be. I mean, the spice, sure, peps you up, you know. Pepper. pep from pepper. I don't know. Who remembers the old Gogol Mogol that they used to use if you were sick?
What? Gogol
Mogol? Gogol Mogol.
Gogol Mogol. Well, that was with an egg.
Right.
Cinnamon.
Right.
Cinnamon and brandy.
Right.
So what would you say with your help and Xavier, Peyton Bankin?
But the Gogol Mogol helps. Helps. Makes you feel good. They used to use it. I mean, you were sick, have a Gogol Mogol.
Good thing we're a younger generation.
You don't know the Gogol Mogol? My mother-in-law was on the Gogol
Mogol. Okay.
I was from the Yakasoff generation. I'm sorry.
Okay. I think I'll stop at this point. I mean, continue next week with this problem of why
you stop with the
Gogol Mogol.
All right, the Gemara tells a story now about Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. It says, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, the Amrei Tavayu, both of them said, in other words, they don't disagree, Yain Mozug, wine which is mixed with water, you have to understand, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. All right? I have to explain that right now. Gilui means literally uncovering. Back in the old days, where they didn't have modern houses and everything else, they used to find snakes in the neighborhood. And apparently a snake would like to come in and have a drink every once in a while. And the fear was that the snake, in coming in to drink, would deposit some poison in the liquid, whether it's water or whether it's wine. You understand? This is now going to be the subject of discussion. Okay, so that's what we mean by gilui. So that therefore the rule was that water, if it stays overnight, or any liquid which it stays overnight, it should be covered so that the snake doesn't come in. Mm-hmm. And of course the fear of snakes, I don't have to tell you, the fear of poison, this already comes into the area of what we call sakana. Sakana means danger, and we're not allowed to put ourselves in a dangerous position. So,
that's an important thing even today.
Yeah, right.
You don't know what's flying around, not the leaf.
True. Yeah. So that's why we're very particular about this. And, you know, the Torah says, "V'nishmartem b'yoid nafshei sechet," which means you should be very careful with your own souls, literally. But it's understood that it means you have to take care of yourself. Okay. All right. So. They said, that wine which is mixed with water, yain mozuk, right? So they say the problem of gilui doesn't arise. Ein bo mishum gilui, which means that apparently the snake is not going to be attracted to a mixture of water and wine. Okay? Well, yeah. Depends. I mean, you know, some snakes, I guess, a little bit. they're more aesthetic or something than others. Okay. But it says, Yain Mavushal. They add over here that Yain Mavushal, right? Hi. That wine, which has been boiled, as we said, right? Ein bo mishum nisach. So, the problem of the Yain Nesach doesn't occur with Mevushal. As we see, I mean, this reinforces the fact, you know, that we could use Mevushal without worrying that it falls into the category of Yain Nesach. So, that's fine. So they stated this, but needless to say, when you make a statement in the Gemara, somebody's going to come up with an objection. Okay? So we boil it. Question was raised to them. You say Yain Mavushal. Alright. Yesh bo mishum gilui or ein bo mishum gilui. You see, before you said that Yain Mavushal, what? You're not afraid? It's not Yain Nesach. Right? It's not water, it's not wine which was used for idolatrous libation. Okay. But what about, should it be covered? Or should it not be covered? That's the question that they ask, right? So Tashma. So here is what we listen to. It says, Hayid Rabbi Yaakov Aridi al Yain Mavusho She'ein Bo Mishum Gilui. Now we have a Gemara called Eduyos, which consists of the time when after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they were in Yavne and so on. So the day came when people would bring in, you know, scholars, traditions that they had heard. And these were, by and large, accepted, you know, without any question, considered authoritative. Okay? So that's Eduyos. So when you see Hayid, Rabbi so-and-so, so it means that he testified to the fact that, it's the word Edus, you know, witness.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So he testified that concerning Yain Mavushal, in other words, boiled wine, it says, She'ein bo mishum gilui, the law of uncover doesn't apply to it. So in other words, he was of the opinion, what? That Yain Mavushal would not be attractive to the snake. Okay? So you could keep it uncovered without fear of danger. No. We continue further with this business. Rabbi Yanai bar Yishmael Cholash. He became ill. Cholash literally means he became weak, but means he became ill. Okay? All the Gabe Rabbi Yishmael ben Zerud. So Rabbi Yishmael ben Zerud went in order to visit him. The Rabbonon Shirli Bay. And also, not just Rabbi Yishmael ben Zerud, but also the other rabbis went along with him in order to ask him questions about halacha. Okay? So Yasveh v'kobem bayaruhu. So while they were sitting, they discussed the question. Yain mavushal yesh bo mishum gilui or ein bo mishum gilui? Does yain mavushal, is the law of, you know, an uncovered liquid apply to it, or does it not apply to it? Right? So Amaluhu Rabbi Yishmael ben Zerud, said to them, Ochim Arab Shum ben Lokish. Rabbi Shum ben Lokish said as follows, the Shum Gavra Rabba, and he said it in the name of a very great man, a very great scholar, Umanu, and who is it? It was Rabbi Chiya. Okay? You notice how, you know, this one quotes, and it says, this one quoted in the name of this one, of course, as we know. What do we read in Pirkei Avos? Ba'ema dava b'shem Imrei, maybe whoever quotes a citation and he tells you exactly where he heard it from, So he is going to bring redemption to the world. We had it in connection with what? Matom Esther Lamelech Bishay Mordechai. Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai. She said, he's the one, you know, who told me about Bixon and Seresh, you know, wanting to kill the king. And so, as a result, the king then issued, started to wonder, how could he honor Mordechai since he had never given him any other one. Okay. So, maybe you will have not led to the redemption of Jews at the time of Purim. All right. So, they asked him the question, right? Yayim of Bushel, right? Yes or no? Does it need covering? So he said, Yayin mevushol, ein bo mishum gilui. Alright? In other words, world wine, he says, that the law of uncovering does not apply to him. Amulei, so they said to him, Yismech, can we rely upon this tradition? They're questioning, can they rely upon it? Okay? So Mechaba Lehu Rabbi Yaneba Yishmael, so Rabbi Yaneba Yishmael explained to them, and he said, Olai Bial Tzavari Afmir, literally upon my neck. In other words, I take the responsibility upon myself, you know, that it's an accurate citation. So what do we see from here up to this point? What do we say about Yayin Mevushel? Not only is there no, you know, it's not Yayin Nesek, right? And also, it doesn't require covering because we're not afraid of the snake, right? Gone's fine. So, now we come to another story about Yayin Mevushel. Okay? Shmuel the Avlet. Shmuel, of course, is the great Rabbi Shmuel who lived in Pupadisa. And he had a Goyish friend by the name of Avlet. Okay? So, Avi Yaspek. They were sitting together, and obviously, you know, what happened? Ice and the Kamei Chamam Uvashalam, right? So they brought to them yain which had been boiled, okay? So Moshe Eliyodek, so you know what Avlet did? He did not want to touch it because he figured that if he touches the wine, then what would happen? Shmuel wouldn't be able to drink it, okay? So he withheld his hand, literally. So Amalei Shmuel, Shmuel said to him, Harei Omru, look, they've already said that Yayin Mevushel, Ein Bo Mishum Yayin Nesach. Okay? The law of Yayin Nesach does not apply to Yayin Mevushel. Oh, sorry. My throat is not in the best of shape yet. Amsei the Rabbi Chiya, the servant woman of Rabbi Chiya, Igliya Bo Havu Chamam Bushala. So she brought him, and what she did was she uncovered wine which was Mabushal. Okay? Asya Kami, the Rabbi Chiya. So they brought it to Rabbi Chiya, and Omalo, and he said to her, Hare Omru, Yai Mabushal, and Babushan Gilui. So he said to her, don't worry, he says, even though you uncovered it, but nevertheless, the teaching is that Yayin Mevushel is not subject to the law of covering or uncovering. You don't have to worry about that. Okay? Shamei de Rav Ada Bar Ava, the shamas of the servant of Rav Ada Bar Ava, Igor Lechamra Meziga. He uncovered wine which had been mixed with water. Now, notice, now we're not talking about Yayin Mevushel, but we're talking simply about wine which was mixed with water. Now, I have to point out, in olden days, actually, the wine was so strong, and normally, that they would add water to it in order to soften it. This is why, for example, you take the Gemara Pesachim, which of course deals, you know, with various aspects of the Passover holiday. And the last chapter over there, Ari Pesachim, it deals specifically with the Seder. Okay? the observance of, you know, the Paschal Lamb and the Seder and so on and so forth. And that's the source, incidentally, of some of the sections that we read in the Haggadah. So the Gemara says over there, Mosgulo Kois, or Mosgulo Kois Sheni. In other words, they mix the first cup, they mix the second cup, and so on. And of course, when they mix the second cup, then we have the Kan HaBen Shoel. At this point, the child asks the questions, you know, Manishtana Laila Hazeh, and so on. So we see from here that they used to mix water in. But the question is, to what extent? This is the question, okay? So Amalei, at any rate, Rav Ada Bar Ava answered his servant. He said to him, "Hare Yomru Yain Mazud, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui." He says, "Look, they said that water, which is wine, which is mixed with water, is not subject to this law of uncovering." Okay, God's fine. So far, what is the evidence? Yain Mavushal, A. It's not Yain Nesach, right? And B, it doesn't require. It's not subject to the law about covering. Okay? That's fine. Amar Papa, so Rav Papa said, "Lo Amar Ron, Ela the Mazik Tuba." He says, no. You know where this applies? This applies where it was mixed with a lot of water. Mixed a great deal. Abol Mazik, the late Mazik, who has only mixed a little bit, Shasi. The snake likes to come and do what? Take a drink. So he says, "The mazik v'leit mazik mishasik." You mean to tell me, he says, that if it's only mixed a little bit, the snake is going to come and drink it? V'hoi rabba barabuno. Rabba says, "Hava ka'azu barba." He was traveling on a ship. And he took some wine with him. And lo and behold, he saw a snake that was just plowing through the water, anxious to try, you know, coming close in order to take a drink of the wine. So Amalei Deshomei, so he said to his servant, "Sama yene de dain." Literally, it means blind the eye of this thing. In other words, let's frustrate his intention, okay? Shokil Kali Maya. So he took some water, Shada Bay, and he poured it into the wine. The Solachare. And guess what happened? The snake turned back, right? And he wasn't attracted to the wine anymore, okay? Why? It says, "Achaya mosa bafshe." If the snake has decent wine to drink, then he's willing to risk his life. But amziga, for wine which is mixed with water, like mosa bafshe, he's not going to risk his life. Okay. So now the Gemara questions that. What do you mean? He's not going to be attracted, ready to risk his life, you know, for wine which has been mixed with water. Or Rabbi Yanai, Ava Be'achbure. Rabbi Yanai was in a place called Be'achbure, literally means mouse place or something. But the Amrilei Ba'edya, Ava Be'achbure. And they said to him, that Bahedi was in Be'achbure. So Hava Yasvi, so they sat together, Hava Koshosu Chamre, and so they were drinking wine. And what kind of wine was it? Mezig. It was wine that had been mixed with water. Parshlehu Chamre Bekuva, so some wine was left over. They couldn't drink it all to the top, so they drank as much as they could, but there was wine left over in the container. It's a runcha befronka, and so they put the rest of the wine in the container, right? The Chazir, and they saw Lahu Chivya, a certain snake, the Shokil Maya. What did he do? He took water, the Roman Bekuvya, the Roman Bekuvya, and he threw the water into this container, until wine and water mixture was full, and then you know what happened? The solik chamra aruye fonke, and the wine rose to the top of the container, right? The shasi, and the snake drank it. So, in other words, the snake was really, it was very cunning, right? That he was able.
Short in
Adam. Right.
I think they drank too much.
So, Amre, they said, the mazik ihu shasi, the mazigi achrim lo shasi. So he said, no. If he himself, that is the snake himself, mixes the wine with water, then in that case he's going to drink it. But if others do the mixing, then in that case he's not attracted to it.
Okay.
Of course, obviously the wine that they had left over was still, you know, good solid wine. So as a result, you know, he did his own mixing, he helped himself to the bar, and he enjoyed himself. Omar Ravashi. Ravashi said, the Tamer Rabbi Sharsha, and some say it was not Ravashi, but it's Rabbi Sharsha, it says, Perukud Sakabda. In other words, you have to be very careful that you don't get yourself into any dangerous situation. And Omar Rava, and Rava said, Hilchasa, the halacha is that Yayin Mozug, if it's wine which is mixed with water, Yeshbo Mishim Gilui, right, then it is subject to the law that you should not keep it uncovered. And also he says that wine which is mixed with water is still in the category that it could be subject to libation, you know, by the goy, yayin nesach, okay? But yayin mevushal, and this clinches it when it comes to Yayin Mevushal, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui, that is not subject to the law concerning uncovering, right? The Yayin Bo Mishum Yayin Nesach, nor is it subject to the law of Yayin Nesach. So it goes to show you the advantage of buying Yayin Mevushal. You don't have to worry either about whether it's uncovered or whether, you know, it falls in the category of Yayin Nesach or not, something like that. Okay, my voice is just about giving out right now, so Baruch Hashem. Mirza Hashem, I hope that we'll meet again next week and continue where we left off.
Thank you. We're on the page now.
We are now... Okay, you see where the long lines are at the bottom?
Yeah.
Two lines above. Two lines
above.
Right, the third word. First of all, let's identify... Tonight is the 18th of May 2005, and we continue now on Gemara Vedezorah, Daf Lamed, Omed Aleph, towards the bottom of the page, in other words, 30a. The continuation of this is the problem again, you know, about whether wine should be, wine or water should be covered, you know, or uncovered and so on. It's continued over here. It says, Shomei the Rav Chilkiyo, Bar Tuvi, it says, the Shomei over here means like the Shamis. In other words, the person, the servant, okay? The servant of Rav Chilkiyo, the son of Tuvi, Igraya Habu Kista de Maya. He happened to uncover a kista. Kista, according to Rashi, is that's the name for a container of water in that particular area. Okay, and it's not a word that we normally use today, but
what's a problem?
Well, that's a box. This is not a box.
Not a
no. Right. Yeah. Okay. A what?
Tank.
A tank?
Yeah.
Mm, not a tank, maybe a tankard. All right, whatever.
All right. One of the local measures.
All right. Vahavanayam. Okay, and what happened? And the Shabbos fell asleep, Gabor, literally on top of this barrel. Okay? So, also the Gabi, the Rav Chilki Batuve. So he came to Rav Chilki Batuve, and Omalei, and he said it to him. So, what did Rav Chilki say to the Shabbos? He says, don't worry, he says, Hare Amru Emas Yoshin Aleihet, right? The Anim, he says, they say that when somebody is asleep, if a snake sees somebody who is sleeping, then he's afraid of that person, and therefore, even though the cask, or whatever you want to call it, was uncovered, but we don't have to worry that a snake decided to come in, because seeing a human being, he would be afraid to touch him. Huh? Oy vey, oy vey, oy vey. All right. And then he said, however, with the following qualification, he says, "Va'ane mile bi'yamama." This holds true if it is daytime. In other words, the snake in the daytime sees the man, so he's not going to bother. Avo belayla, no. But if it's at night, he's not afraid of a person who is sleeping, and he would be attracted to it, right? And now the Gemara says, "Velohi." But that's not really so. In other words, it makes no difference whether it is daytime or whether it is nighttime. In other words, the snake right? I'll finish the sentence. Emas Yoshet Alehen Leaminon. We don't say that the snake is afraid of somebody who is sleeping. It makes no difference whether it's daytime or nighttime. Right.
He's
okay.
Contradicting the
Rabbi. Right. Correct. Okay. Rav Leishosi Bimei Aramor. So here we come to a different mitzvah. Rav would not drink any water, right, in the house of an Aramean. In other words, when it came to Agoy, he didn't even want to drink the water over there. I've heard one of our rabbis say, that particular person, I wouldn't even drink a drink of water in his house. I won't mention who said it. So we see that he has a precedent for that, right? That Rav would not drink it in the house of an Aramean, literally. In other words, a goy. Omar, why? It says, Lo Zahiri Bigali, right? It says, because they're not careful when it comes to this law concerning the covering or uncovering of the water. Okay? Nibeya Malta Shasi. However, he would drink water in the house of a widow. Of course, he means a Jewish widow. It doesn't mean a Goyish widow. It's posthumous, okay? In a Jewish widow's house, he would drink water over there, because Omar, he said, Tzircha de Gavra Nakita. He says, she still holds to the habits that were formed when her husband was alive. And since her husband was very careful, obviously, to see to it that the water was covered at night, right? So that, therefore, she presumably continues in the same manner. Okay. So that's Rav. Shmuel, Leisha Simaya, Mibeya Malta. Shmuel, on the other hand, who always normally disagrees with Rav in God knows how many places, sometimes they agree, by the way.
Very seldom.
Sometimes they do agree. But usually on opposite sides, right? So he didn't drink water even in the house of a widow. Omar, because he said, Leis loy mosa de gavra, velo dichsaye maya. He says, she's no longer afraid to do that which her husband would have prohibited in the past, right?
Wait, I can't. Let's hear the thing. I didn't hear it. Could you say that again?
Yes. Shmuel, right? Shmuel Leishosamaya, right? He did not drink water Mibay Amalta in the home of a widow. Why? Because Omar, he said, Leis lo emosa de gabra. She is not afraid anymore of her husband. In other words, before she had fear, respect, whatever you want to call it, you know, for her husband's ideas, right? The Lord is Sayamayam, because the husband is no longer around, she would not cover the water, right? Aval, however, Mibay Armo shall say, hey, Shmuel, he did drink water from whom? From a goy, in the house of a goy. Why? He says, because Nehi, the Gluya Lekapte, he says, even though they were not that careful when it comes to covering or uncovering, nevertheless, Amenakrusa Miokapte, however, they were very careful when it came to keeping the house clean. So that, therefore, he was sure, you know, that even though they didn't have this ruling concerning the covering of water, but as a matter of sanitation, they wouldn't leave the water uncovered.
Very good impression of Jewish widows, didn't he?
Right.
He thought better of the...
Right. All right, so I said, Rob had the contrary feeling, and
he
will...
Why did he marry her?
Might be a good joke I heard on this.
Yeah. All right. Let's finish the sentence first. Ikar the Amre. Yeah. There are those who say the following. They say Rav leishosi mayim be'aramah, that Rav did not drink water from the house of an Aramean. Avo mebe'amalta shall say. However, from the house of a widow he did drink. Right. So far, this is exactly what we said before about Rav. However, the difference comes in about Shmuel. So Shmuel leishosei maya lo mibei aramah v'lo mibei amalta. He was consistent, contrary to what we said before about Shmuel, and he didn't drink water either from an Aramean's home or in a widow's home. Okay. All right. Now let's hear the joke.
I'm being pressed in the service. All right. Now, I have to say that there's a prologue. I went to see David Hirsch yesterday, who, besides being a good dentist, regales his patients with jokes.
Yeah.
So he said, well, in Florida, at one time, he was at a graveyard, and he saw a man who was... Yeah, he was at a funeral, and he saw a man nearby who was before a tombstone, Matseva, and he was crying. I mean, just really like bawling and shouting out loud, like, why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? And so, when everything was finished, he was very sympathetic. He went over to me and said, God forbid, well, who is here? Is this a child? God forbid. He said, no. He says, your wife? He said, another relative? A brother, sister? So I was a little stunned. He said, well, who? I mean, was it like a business associate? You were partners for many, many years. You had a wonderful relationship? Whatever. He says, no. Very, very good friend. You knew from childhood? No. He says, as a matter of fact, I didn't even know him. He says, what are you talking about? You didn't know him. You didn't know him. And why are you standing in front of the Matseva and saying, you know, and crying, tears are coming down your face and saying, why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? He said, he's my wife's first husband.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It didn't seem that good.
Just good when you have that thing in your mouth.
Okay.
He had many more, but I won't torture you with the rest of them.
I don't understand why the Gemara goes into the argument. First they say they argue that they wouldn't drink wine, and they say they will drink wine, and they come back and say that they wouldn't drink in any case. What's the point?
Point being that, don't forget, they didn't write these things down. These things were all transmitted orally, okay? And because they were transmitted orally, at times they got one version of what so-and-so said, and at times they got a different version. And they wanted to be faithful to both versions, so therefore both of them are there. You saw that Aleph Dalet, that means equally army. There are those who say, now that means that, there's a different idea concerning the same subject matter that there is, there's something different over there. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, that's the answer. All right. Now we come to a further discussion about wine. Omar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. That's what that abbreviation means. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. The Levi said, "Shalosh yenoshem." The ein bohen mishim gilui. He says there are three types of wine, which they're not subject to this law of covering. In other words, for one reason or another, snakes will not drink this kind of wine. Okay. And now he gives a list. Okay. The Elohim. This is what they are. Chad, mar, masok, chad, tila, harifo, tzuri, ziki, okay, and mar, yarnako, masok, hulya. Why, thank God we have a Rashi, so we can explain some of these things, okay, because otherwise we would be stuck, okay. So first of all, what is this Tilya Harifa? He says, Rashi says, Min Yain Chazak. He says it's a very strong wine. The Ein Tam Otov doesn't taste good. Omar Sok. It's not sweet. Right? It's not good and it's not sweet. Eloka Chomets, but it tastes like vinegar. Sour like vinegar. Okay. Metor Chosko, and because it is so strong, Ain nocha shoysehu. The snake won't even touch it. Okay. All right. So that's one type. Next type. It says, the mitzray ziki or the mitzray ziki. It says there is a wine that actually it breaks. It says bevaka nodos bechosko. The skins in which you keep wine, remember we spoke about the fact that they use skins for that, okay? This stuff is so strong that it breaks right through, okay? So again, this is being so strong, the snake, right. And then another one is Mar Yarnaka. What is Mar Yarnaka? So he says that's Ra Umar. He says it's bitter, it's bad and it's bitter. Yeah. And then we had Chulya Masok. He says Machbas Hashemesh. He says because of the heat of the sun, Misocha Novim, in the midst of the grapes, Mishuv Ino Hogun. So this wine is not any good anymore. In
it's
other
like
words,
rancid wines. He's talking about.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like rancid wine.
You know, the grapes on a vine should really be covered at a certain point. It's good for the grapes, you know. So what he's saying is if you expose the grapes too much to too long to the sun, and after all he had experience, you know, being in the wine business, don't forget, so it could spoil it. And this
is right.
So that this is this is another wine that's no good, okay? Rav Chomo, Master Eluye, Chad, Chomar, he had a different version of what the wine is that, a snake wouldn't go for. So I said, you have different versions, as we see, right? So the version now is of Rav Chomo. He taught as follows. Says you had chad, chamar, or filpel. You have wine which is mixed with pepper. Then you have mar,
pupil,
yeah. Right.
And the
that's
F
pepper.
Becomes a P in language.
Yeah.
You know, there is a consonant.
Yeah, sometimes, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But pupil is related to the word pepper in English. Yeah. Right, right. Then you have mar of Sintin. You have a wine which is bitter because it contains absinthe in it.
Absinthe.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, no, it's a
great. Right, it is. Yeah,
so
there are those who
pure,
like it. But,
it's not the pure
right.
wine.
Yeah, I mean, it's been mixed with it to give it a flavor. That's correct. And then you have Mosok Bay Bark. Then you have sweet, which is so sweet that it's terrific.
Oh, they have that. You know, there's a kosher wine.
Yeah.
I forgot what it's
Malaga.
Called.
Malaga.
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 Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love it.
You could cut it. You can cut it. It's so good.
Yeah. According to Rashi, May Barg, he says, Mashke Meshubach Barg. He says,
Malaga.
Malaga. Malaga. Accent on the first syllable. Malaga.
Malaga.
Malaga is the name of a city in Spain. So that you know, the grapes that grew in that area formed the Malaga wine, right? Just as Bordeaux, for example, right? The region about Bordeaux or Champagne is because of the province of Champagne, which that particular type grows, and so on. Or Bourgogne, which in English we call Burgundy, you know, the same thing. So. Each area has its own distinctive type of grape, and as a result, the wine varies from one place to another. Omar Rab Shimon ben Lokish says, Karino ein bo mishum gilui. Wine, which is called Karina, he says, you don't have to be worried about uncovering. Why? Well, he says, so they say, yeah, so my Karina, so tell me what's Karina. So Marabohu, he says, Chamra Chaya Ta'asa Ba'asa. He says, it's a wine which is vinegary in taste, and it comes from someplace in Asia or Asia or something like that. Okay. Amarovo. So Rava said, he says, in the local area from which the wine comes, there you do have to cover the wine. Why? Because the snakes are used to that kind of a wine. It's only a snake which tastes wine that he doesn't care for.
Right. Turns up his nose at this.
You don't know any different.
You know, the old Jewish is trying to put some of that eingeweiht.
Right, absolutely.
No,
absolutely, but you get used to it. Right. And he says, my Tama, what's the reason? He says, because Chama, but you know, this is the drink that is customary in that area, and so a snake also, you know, it likes the local stops, the local
wine.
Very
fussy snake. Well, the mixed one they don't want either, you know.
Omar Rava said, tell you something, he says, I Chama, the Ikrim, says, wine, which is already turned sour, okay? It's not yet 100% vinegar, but it's turning sour right now. So it says, "Atlosa yome, yesh bo b'shem gilui." Right. The first 3 days in which you see that it's turning sour, it still might be attracted to the snake, and so therefore you have to cover it. But And also, it would be subject to, you know, the prohibition against wine as Yai Nesach, right, as Goyish wine. Okay.
Rabbi,
yes, next page. No.
We had, long ago, the discussion about not uncovering, not even water uncovering.
Right.
Water.
Yeah.
And that had to do with all, any, it wasn't snakes particularly, it was any...
No, that's the next page.
Any thing that could happen to it.
Yeah.
Insects, who knows why.
Right.
Isn't that, it wasn't just a discussion.
Yeah, but
it
normally...
It wasn't a discussion about snakes, was it at that time?
Yeah, we already had the snakes brought in.
At that time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you're right, I mean, there could be other things, but, you know, if it is, let's say, a mosquito or something like that, you can get rid of it. But with snake, we're afraid of the poison.
But you know, the funny thing is that I examined my own behavior in water in vessels, and I became very careful about not leaving water uncovered anymore.
Now what we do, we put it in the refrigerator.
Right.
And
fault
them, that's all. Right. Right.
And you pour out anything that might be left in the
right.
Glass, you know,
absolutely.
But I did not used to be so careful. Now I notice what I'm doing about the water. That happens.
Okay.
That was months ago, to me,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. The Kanva Elach, after the first 3 days, however, Ein Bo Mishum Gilui, Ein Bo Mishum Yan Esach, right? So, it's no longer subject to the law concerning uncovered, right? And also, it's no longer considered a wine that could be used for Yan Esach, because it's turned so sour already, it's turned so vinegary that, you know, nobody, even a goy rejects it, okay? A snake and a goy, they reject it. Not to put them both in the same category.
And yet they might call one like that a snake in the grass.
Right.
And that's
crazy. Or Nahardaya, and the people who live in Nahardaya, Amre, they say, I feel the basat lasa yoni. They, even after the first 3 days are gone, they are still concerned about this rule of, you know, uncovered wine. My Tama, for what reason? It says, Zimnin Mikre Shasek. Because sometimes a snake might come and drink of it. Happens rarely, but nevertheless, since there is that possibility, so, and in that case, consider that it may happen, and therefore they say, cover it. Okay? Tana Rabbana, again, concerning wine, says, Yayin Toises, wine which is fermenting. Okay? Ein Bo Mishum Gilui. Okay? So, it's not subject to the law concerning uncovering, because at this point it's not attractive, obviously. The Chamat Tisisose, how long does the fermentation of wine take? He says, Gimuyan takes 3 days. Hashachlayim Ein Behem Mishum Gilui, right? Now, Shachlayim is what we call cress. So, if you take it, according to Rashi, you take it, you tear it up in little pieces, right? You mix it in a vessel, right? And then you either pour water or wine into it. So what about this combination? He says, Ein Bohem Mishum Gilui, right? They do not, this is still not subject to the law of uncovering, because, again, the snake would not be attracted to it. However, there are those in the diaspora, right, outside of Eretz Yisrael, who they consider that the possibility that it could be dangerous. And therefore, they say that you have to cover it, okay?
Well, they're talking about adulteration.
Right.
In this case, it's
Well, as I say, at this particular point, we're talking about wine which is in the process of fermentation, right?
Do they say fermentation is only 3 days?
Yeah, they say it ferments for 3 days, right.
Okay. My grandfather used to make wine.
Yeah.
In the house.
Right.
With a big barrel.
The wine is different than ferment. Ferments it would be when it's trained in vinegar.
No, first fermentation, right, the first stage in the wine, that's the ferment, yeah. Right.
That's how you get the wine.
Right.
But he had these big barrels in the back room.
Yeah, for Pesach, I still remember seeing it when I was a child also,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
We did that all the time.
Yeah, right. We had Mr. Fisher. Or actually, I remember, you know, we had these great big crocks, you know, for wine, for borscht. Right. Yeah, I still remember seeing those ceramic pots in which they put these things up and let it, you know, in preparation for Pesach.
Is this because of the prohibition?
First of all, they were used to making their own back in the old country. But secondly, it was also the period of prohibition. So I still remember we had Mr. Fisher, a former Yid, who was our favorite bootlegger when it came to wine in Bronfen for Pesach, okay?
I thought there was a, you know, I remember this, watching these newsreels, and I thought there was an exemption from prohibition for what they would, the Goyim called sacramental wine, for
theoretically,
wine for
theoretically, right.
That was permitted.
Yeah, but permitted. What about whiskey? Bronfen, whatever you want to call it. I mean, that was absolutely perfect. But even wine, you know.
It's not Nesachim, right?
Right.
Nesachim.
Right, right.
So Mr. Fisher brought you in.
Right. Either he came to the house with a jug, right? Or you went to his house and he poured you from his jug, okay?
I bet you they still see a bracha over his memory.
Well, I still remember him after all these years. How old was I in those days? 6, 7 years old?
Really?
Something like that.
Nice memory.
It's 80 years ago. Things that you remember sometimes. Okay. And they say, Veloa Moran, however, where does this apply? It says, Ela de Lesbehu Chola, where there is vinegar in it. All right. Avol Isbehu Chola, where there is no vinegar in it. However, Isbehu Chola, once it is fermented to the point that it becomes actually taka vinegar, so Nigri Behu. Okay? Then what? Let me say that the snake is already afraid of it, right? Is repelled by it, and he's not attracted to it. So then it would no longer be subject to the law of uncovering. Okay, I think I'm going to stop at this point. I hardly spare. Okay, so today is the 25th day of May, and we're freezing over here in the Beis Medrash. And we are currently in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Omid Beis, in other words, 30B, and we are now roughly about 7, 3, 6, we're on the eighth line right from the top, okay? All right. We are still talking about what about the law of Gilui, in other words, uncovering. If, liquids are uncovered, whether it's water or wine or even milk, then in that particular case, it's subject to the law of Gilui, okay? In other words, it should be covered in order to make sure that what? That a snake doesn't come and deposit venom inside of it, okay? So we continue yet for a little while with this business, but we're coming to the end of the snake story, okay? All right. We are on the eighth line, approximately.
From the top?
Yes. All right. So now the next item that they're discussing over here is Kusa Chabavli. The question is, what is Kusa Chabavli? So the answer is, it's a certain type, and thank God that we have a Rashi, because he explains what it is. The phrase occurs in several places. In fact, it occurred in the Gemara Shabbos as well, but apparently the major source for it is the Gemara Psachim, because that's what Rashi quotes. He says that Kusach HaBavli, which means literally Babylonian Kusach, whatever that is, he says, Chazak hu kechometz. He says, this drink, or whatever you want to call it, this concoction, is as strong as vinegar. Kim Neforish Be'elu Evrim, as the Gemara explains in chapter Elu Ovrim in Psachim, where it says, the Yahavu Bey Tipushe Pas, Ipushe Pas, excuse me, they put in bread which is getting moldy, yeah, finish Yovei Bechalva, and they put in whey, you know, W-H-E-Y, right? And then they mix the stuff together. Whey is the liquid that you get out of milk.
Oh, milk.
Right. You know, the non-solid
curds
part.
Curds and whey.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So it's a milk like a drink.
Right. It's a milk like a drink, but it's strong as vinegar, and so the question is this also subject to the law of Gilui, of uncovering?
It's got a little penicillin in it,
right.
Too.
Pardon me?
Penicillin.
Oh, yeah.
Early form of penicillin.
Why not? I'm sure it was healthy.
It's probably very healing.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The Gemara and Shabbos, I mean, seems to consider it as something, I mean, that you would be permitted to drink or eat whatever it is. I don't know what form it is, but you would be permitted to use it, even though it may have medicinal purposes, medicinal side effect. Right. I mean, remember we discussed this already several times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he says over here, Ein bo mishum yilui. In other words, he says it is not subject to the law of uncovering. We don't have to worry about whether it's covered or uncovered, because obviously, will the snake be attracted to it?
Nah.
Okay. However, we see a contrary opinion. But the people in the diaspora still forbade it to be used if it was uncovered. Okay, question is, who are they? B'nei Gola. So there are those who say they are people who lived in a certain area of Babylonia, and they were called the B'nei Gola. Okay, doesn't mean that everywhere in the diaspora, including the USA or whatever it may be, but it means only that in that particular area, I think it was around Pompidou, if I'm not making a mistake. Or Nahardo, one of those places.
It would have been far off, perhaps, because it was a Babylonian drink.
Yeah, right. It was Kusach HaBavli, exactly.
Yeah.
So in that particular area, you know, they didn't accept the idea that,
you're uncovered.
Right. Omar Rabbi Nashi Barashi, and a man by the name of Benashi, Benashi said, he is Pedekure Chayishinan. He says, if you can detect like little puncture marks in the stuff, because it wasn't just liquid, it's like liquid with using old bread or something like that they used.
That would form the crust.
Yeah, right. Undoubtedly it did, right.
Yeah.
So in that particular case, he says, if you see these puncture marks, then definitely stay away from it, because it's quite possible that this puncture mark is caused by a snake. Okay, next item. Omar Avchir Barashi, Omar Shmuel. Now we have a couple of statements by Avchir Barashi, who said in the name of Shmuel. First thing that he says is, "Mei tif tif, ein bo mishum gilui." All right. So the question is, what is tif tif? Tif means, you know, like it's a shortened form of the word tipa, which means a drop. But you can say tif 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 tif. Okay. Sort of Arab modern poir, maybe. Good evening. So, again, thank God, Rashi comes to our rescue in order to explain. He says, what he's talking about over here is, take a look at the Rashi, tif tif, you see it over there? It says, kli, shetachas chobis, shemekabed yain hanoite. You have a barrel of wine, and right underneath it, they put another vessel into which the wine drips drop by drop. Okay? That's the tip tip. Okay? Drops got by bat. So he says, nay tiktif, in other words, water which is dropped in over there, literally. So he says, ein bo mishum gilui. He says, it's not subject to the law of gilui. So Omar Ravashi, puts in a correction over there. What he says is, v'huda odit tif lahade tif, tif. Says, if it actually, it just continues to drop one after another, without, you know, something intervening, then in that case, the snake will not be attracted to it, so it would not be subject to the law of uncovering. So, again, I like Rashi, how he explains it. Tif lahadi tif tif, you see it over there. So he says, Shematavtif tadir, in other words, it keeps on dripping all the time. Behatipim rotfozu ezu, and one little drop keeps on chasing the next drop, okay? Utechufos, and they are one after another. When he hears this continual dripping, he hears the noise, he flies, he flees from it. He's not interested in it. He's afraid of it. Okay. Another statement of Rabbi Chiya bar Rashi. Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Rashi or Mashmuel, the name Mashmuel again. And this time we're talking about a fig. He says, Pita Einor, literally, the mouth of a fig, Ein bo mishum gilui. It's not subject to the law of Gilui. So first of all, we have to know what is he talking about over here, and thank God that we have a Rashi. Okay, what he says is as follows: Peter Enon, all right, the Rashi. He says, "Kishetolshin also, when they pluck it off the, you know, the stem, okay, to which is attached." So Nasa lo per kotzor b'makom uktzor. So it forms like a little mouth where the end of the twig or something, or the end of the branch, whatever it is, you know, to which it's attached, is there. So the question, of course, is, would that be attracted to, guess who?
The snake.
The snake, exactly. Okay? In which case, what? Would it be subject to the law of Gilui, right? So, Rav Chiya bar Rashi, the name of Shmuel, said, Pita Einoin bo b'shem Gilui. He says, it's not subject to it. And he says, come on. This is in accordance with whose opinion? So he says, Kehai Tada, because remember, an Amora, in other words, the teachers of the Talmud who lived in Babylonia, or after the time of the Mishnah had been concluded, right? They look to see if there are statements going back to the day of, to the period of the Tadoyim, in other words, the teachings of the Mishnah, the earlier authority. Okay?
I don't understand. What has figs got to do with cover, not uncovering?
Because the question is, will a snake be attracted to take a bite out of it? Because there's that liquid in it. Okay? That's the question. What's the matter?
No,
discriminating against the snake, who doesn't, you don't want to give him a thing.
The end of it is open.
Right,
so
right, that's
be
the question.
That shows up.
It's not only that it's open, but if you pull it out, right? So not only do you have an opening, but you're also going to have a little liquid over there. You're going
to
have liquid.
Ants could be attracted to a beetle.
No, all right.
So, you know, not only snakes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the ant doesn't.
The snake has venom.
The snake has venom. That's exactly the problem. The ant doesn't have venom.
What are they going to cover?
Pain in the neck. But,
what are you supposed to cover? Cover the fig?
The question is it subject to it? Okay? Will a snake be attracted to eat it or not?
Yeah.
So if the snake is attracted to it, then we have to say that immediately you have to cover it so that the snake is not going to be attracted to it. But if a snake is not interested in it, then in that particular case, then we don't have to. So as I said before, Rav Chiya bar Rashi said in the name of Shmuel, who, of course, Shmuel is actually like on the borderline between the conclusion of the Mishnah and the beginning of the Talmud, right? And but he wants to quote an earlier authority. So he says, the high Tanon, the Tanya, So in accordance with that Tana, in other words, that teacher in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer, on there, the Tanya Rabbi Eliezer, man, we learned that Rabbi Eliezer says, Oikel Adam Anovim Uteinim Balailo Vayinu Choshesh Bechum Shneemar Shem Pesoyim Hashem. Okay. And Rabbi Eliezer says that it's permitted for a person to eat grapes or figs at night, even though, you know, he can't see whether there's any creatures running around because he doesn't have the light, he doesn't have electricity, okay? The Yenei Cheshesh, and he doesn't have to be concerned, in other words, that what? That a snake will be attracted to the grapes or to the figs? Why doesn't he have to be worried about it? So Shanema, because it's written, and this is a pasuk that we have in the Hallel, right? God takes care of the innocent fools. Okay.
So we can deduce then that as long as we take reasonable precautions.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
We don't have to go crazy. Just reasonable precautions.
Yes.
Did we get to this subject? First we got to the snake.
Right.
Because we were concerned about we were concerned about the purity of wine and how it relates to whether an idol worshiper would use it or not.
Yeah, that's one of the
issue of snakes.
Yeah, that's one of, that's connected with it. Yeah.
And the only
it's
way
not the only
this,
thing.
This
right.
is connected yeah. is because we're right. on the topic of snakes, so we're going.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
right.
I'm
right.
just wondering whether.
Well, there's always that
tangential connection.
Right.
Isn't a fig, doesn't it have to be plucked from the?
Yes, it has to be plucked, absolutely, of course. And when you pluck it, so there's a hole over there. Exactly, that's what the question is. Right. Okay. So now that we know that God takes care of the innocent fools, okay, Baruch Hashem, I'm sure that there are times when we all fall into that particular category. So now we continue. And now the Gemara says, Omar of Safra. Of Safra said, Mishum Rabbi Yoshua, the Roma, in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, who came from the south, I guess he was a Sunda, and he said, Shlosha Mine Eris Ain. He says, you know what? There are three different kinds of snake poison. First, Shel Bochor, if it's a young snake, then you guess what? Shokea, the snake falls to the bottom.
What?
To the bottom of the barrel. What do you mean? At the bottom of the container. We'll see why in a moment. Okay. Shel Benoni, if it is a snake who's middle-aged, Nefapea, then it sort of like tosses around bubbling somewhere in the middle, right? Shel Zakein, but if it's an old snake, right, then in that particular case, it floats on top. Okay, so the Gemara says, Lemaimer, you're trying to tell me that the Kama, the Koshish Chele, that as he gets older and older, that's what Koshish means over here, that his strength becomes weaker, right? In other words, why do we say? We say, when he's a young, vigorous snake, are you trying to tell me that? That when he's a young, vigorous snake, his venom is so thick that it falls to the bottom because it's heavy. Thick,
well,
constantly.
It's the venom. It's the venom.
Yeah, eris we're talking about.
They're talking about the poison.
The poison of it, the venom, right.
Ah, okay.
Call it poison. If you don't know what venom means, it means poison.
Snake
okay.
is not in the wine.
Yeah, that's I'm confused by that.
It's no, the snake deposits
the venom.
Okay, this is our entire theory. We're not talking about the snake biting somebody. We're talking about the snake deposits venom.
Uh-huh.
And it's a dangerous situation. It's what we call sakanta in Aramaic or sakon in Hebrew. It's dangerous, okay? And, all right, so he says, the young snake, are you trying to tell me, he says, that the young snake, why does it go to the bottom? Because it's thick. And how about the Benoni, right? Why does it you know, why does it like bubble somewhere in the middle over there? Because, you know, it's not quite as thick as it used to be. Michel Zocain, there it's so light there's hardly anything left in it, right, that it just stays on the surface and doesn't sink to the bottom. Is that what you're trying to tell me, says the Gemara. So he says, well, oh, Tanya, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute, we learned the contrary idea. What's the contrary idea? The contrary idea is, Shloisha, there are three types of creatures, called Zman Shemaskinin, as they get older and older, Givura Metosefes Bahed. Guess what? They get stronger and stronger, right? Literally, you know, their strength becomes added to them, right? They get added strength. And Elohe, he says, and the three creatures are dog, a fish. In other words, as the fish gets older, gets bigger, and he gets stronger and can swallow the little fish, right? So we know that. And Nochash, a snake too, that the older he gets, the more dangerous he gets. The Chazir, right? And the pig. So, in other words, this contradicts the other opinion, right? Because, then why is it, you know, that in the case of the old snake, it's so light that it goes, you know, on top? So he says, well, I'll tell you, we have to make a distinction. He says, Koyach oisufehu dekomotsev. Strength is what it continues to get. In other words, it gets stronger and stronger, but zihare, kolish. However, the venom gets weaker and weaker. Okay? Shel bochur shekeya, right? So now they say, all right. So we've established that if it's a young snake, then the venom sinks, right? So lamai hilchasah. So tell me, what practical halacha can we get from this? So this is what he quotes. He says to Tanya, we have a statement which says, Chovis shenizgalo, or shenizgalso, according to the Yavetz. Alright? In other words, a barrel, or if you wish, a container is really what it means in this particular case. It says, once it's uncovered, right? So it says, Afal pi sheshosu mimena tisho, even though nine people have drunk from this, you know, liquid that was from this uncovered barrel, the lo mesu, and they did not die, lo yishte mimena asiri, the tenth person should not drink from it. Of course, we're afraid, what? That the venom is there on the bottom. And he says, Masa hoya, pake, there was such an incident, sheshosu mimena tisho, velo mesu, right? That nine people drank from this kind of a container and they didn't die. Vishosa asiri, velo mesu, and the tenth person who drank from it died. Omar Rabbiyo, so Rabbiyo said, Zehu shokeya. This is what the problem is when we say that it sinks to the bottom. And now he says, V'chein avatiyach shenizgalso. And the same is true of a melon which also is uncovered. Okay. Rashi, please come to our help. Okay. It says, avatiyach. Now, avatiyach, today, if I would ask you what's avatiyach, in modern Hebrew means a watermelon, okay? Means a watermelon. A watermelon, right, that's how you say it, right? So, he says avatiyach, right? And he gives two words to describe what they are. The first one is malafafon. Malafafon today in Hebrew is a cucumber. Malafafon chamutz is a pickle.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right. Right, exactly.
Exactly.
Right, it's called. Right. So that's the malafafon. So, in other words, the first one is to tell us that, you know, the identification is with something that looks like a pickle. However, that's not what the next word tells us, because what is the next word that Rashi says? He says, melon belaz. In other words, avatech is really not a cucumber, but it is a melon. Okay. Could be, you know, that according to Rashi, melafathon was the equivalent of a melon. You understand? That's why he puts the two words together over there. Okay.
It reminds me of Lewis Cohen's wonderful story when his first relative that came to the United States came, there was a small stream of Jews that did not go through Ellis Island, but actually went through Galveston, Texas.
Yeah.
And his relative is one of them. So after he's admitted into the United States, he goes out the same day to, you know, in Galveston, I imagine it's not a very big place at that time, went out to like a market area, and he said there he saw the biggest cucumber he had ever seen in his life. Of course, he was a young man then, about 20. So he took out his knife and he cut it, and he said it was amazing. Here in the United States, they had red cucumbers that tasted so sweet. You know, this passage reminded me of that story.
Very good. Right. Okay. So now let's continue with the Rashi, please. All right.
Sorry about that.
Okay. He says the gasa. You know, he says this is thick gasa. And then when you open it up, le'achol tzas, right, to eat a little bit of it, right, the omeres begula. Then, guess what, there's still a good deal of it left over, right, and if it is uncovered, then what? Oichel nachosh mimeno, right? The snake is tempted to take a piece of melon, okay? The hiraka, and since what's inside is soft, the ho'eris shokeya, right, and the venom sinks in, right, shokeya bo. So hilkoch shaminon merav safrot, right. So therefore, we listen, right, to tuva rishon lo yishtev. First of all, don't drink. Shemanochus okein shosasham, right. The tzofa eris the malo and soim sheban ochosh bedoini hoya fatea shosu tisha la yishta asiri sheban bochel hoya. All right. So in other words, this is the reason why we have the statement of Rav Safra to tell us, you know, that you have to be very careful with these. Don't take a chance. And even if nine are not harmed by it, but nevertheless, number 10 may be.
Well, okay. Down to the point where even.
Right.
Fruit.
Yeah.
Different kinds of fruit.
Right. Right.
Should also, if they're, once they're open, remain covered.
Right. Right. Okay. It's exactly what it is.
Even from our understanding of biology today, it's not so uncommon for one, if you have, let's say, a chicken or some large piece of food, for one person to become ill and several other people not.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Piece of food is a minimum number of, let's say, bacteria that you have to ingest in order to get sick, and so may sometimes be concentrated in a certain section of the animal, and so it's not such a far-fetched thing.
Right. I mean, we know. I mean, thank God that we have refrigeration and things like that today.
But when I investigate things, you say, who ate the chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, there were five people in my family.
Why am I the only one that was But it also mirrors the whole question of sanitation, where we know enough to cover anything that's open.
Right.
And we just normally do that.
Yeah. That's what we should be doing.
generations of people getting sick who didn't figure it out.
Right.
They didn't study Gomorrah. They were
absolutely
small learners.
They were up a creek.
Okay, let's continue. All right, so he sums up with the business with the melon, right? It says, "Lafal pisha ochlu mimena tisha b'nei Adam," right? "V'lo beis v'lo yechem mimena asiri," right? Even though nine people have eaten from it, that that person should not do it. And again, he says, "Ma'asehoya, taki, it happened this way." The yochlu mimenu tisha, right? That nine people did eat of it, but they didn't die. But the yochal asiri, number 10, who came along and he took a bite out of it, for meis, and he died. Okay. So now, for the time being, we're letting go of wine. Now we're talking about water in general. Also, uncovered water, because remember that is also subject to the business of, you know, being attracted to snakes. So he says, Amar Rav says, Zehu Shokeya. He says, I mean, this is what we mean by Shokeya, that the venom goes down, right? Tanu Rabbanim. Our rabbis taught us that Bayim Shadizgalu, the water which was uncovered, Hareze lo yishpachem rishus harabim. Number one, don't throw them into the street. Below yabitz bahenes habayis, don't use it in order to water the floor, the house, right? Below yagabu bahenes hatit, don't use this kind of water in order to mix clay with it. Right, the lo yashke by my hand, and he should not use it to give drink. Lo behemto, neither his own animal, the lo behemas chavero, nor the animal that belongs to somebody else. The lo yirchatz behen, ponov yodo v'raglo, nor should he use this kind of water either to wash his face, his hands, or his feet. Okay, Rashi. Okay, lo yishpachem. Why shouldn't he throw this water into the street? Okay, why? So says sheba yavar odom yochev, because it's possible that there will be a barefoot person walking. In those days, not everybody had shoes on, right? The people went around bare feet. The yamid ha'eres bein. Kishrei Esperisov, and the poison.